Welcome to the Mental Dietitian Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Lynch Potter, just a guy who's trying to live a great life and learn the best way to live it. This show is for the everyday human being that feels exactly how I feel, and every week I will bring you weekly episodes on how to get better mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and financially so you can have a great mental diet.
Welcome to episode 31 of the Mental Dietitian Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Lynch Potter, and today's episode is titled, What Our Pets Can Teach Us About Ourselves. Now, I've got three cats. They're my little babies. I might cry on this podcast, maybe. Maybe, we'll see. I was thinking about today's, I was like sitting on the bed with my middle son, Floof. He is 7 years old. He's a fat boy. My other cats weigh 11 pounds. The other one weighs about 9. And then Floof weighs about 18. So Floof's fat. But I was lying on the bed and I was lying with Floof. And I was like, what am I going to do this podcast about that's coming up? And I started talking to Floof about it. I was like, what do you think I should talk about? I've been having one-sided conversations with Floof for 7 years now. I'm waiting for him to respond. He does respond sometimes with little meows, but I haven't got any words from him yet. But I was thinking how my cats and how having pets has taught me a lot about myself, especially when it comes to showing love and care and being responsible for something else other than yourself and what that does to you and how it can make you want to be better. I know people firsthand that have had serious mental health issues, serious anxiety, even being suicidal and things like that. And they've got a dog or a cat and it makes them want to be better because there's something else, some other living creature that is relying on them. Kids can do the same thing. I've heard the same thing that kids can do the same thing. It's very interesting. And I was thinking about it that my cats, I will spend their entire life with them, but they will only be a small fragment of my life. And even when I say that, I can feel the emotion come up because every night, so funny, every night, especially Floof and the other one, Flynn, we've got two boys and a girl. We got Ouija's the youngest, Ouija, like a Ouija board. She's about 1.5. Then there's Floof, who's about 6, turning 7. And then we've got Flynn, who's turning 8. Flynn's an orange cat. Floofy is a tabby, white and tabby cat. And then Ouija's a little black cat. And it's just really interesting how they all have their own little personalities. They all have do their own little things that they do and have their annoying little traits and their cute little things that they do, just like people. But I was thinking the other night, Floof has this nightly routine where I get into bed, Lexi gets into bed, and then I call Floof's name and he jumps up on the bed and he wants to be Little Spoon every night for 7 years, every single night, ever since he was a kitten. And I got quite emotional thinking about it, is that one day there would come a day that I'll get into bed and Floof won't do that because he won't be here. And what can that teach me? What it teaches me is that everything is temporary. Every person you come across is temporary. Life is temporary. So love as much as I possibly can. So I pour so much love into these cats. Every time I get home, I give them a hug. It's ridiculous. Like Lexi and I also sometimes like, this is almost getting on disgusting how much we love these cats. And maybe that's the wrong word, but it's a lot. And it's amazing how much emotion it can bring up in you just even talking about it. I think about it all the time. I think about death all the time. I think about how temporary life is and how nothing lasts forever. And Floof sleeps with me every single night. And I just think about it. I'm like, man, one day he won't be here. And it's a very strange thought. It's a very, very strange thought. Everybody dies. So bearing in mind that everybody dies and everybody lives, I need to love and show much how much I care and love about this animal before he goes. And it got me thinking, I'm like, what do animals show us about ourselves that we can bring out into the world and bring into other relationships with people? And people always talk about this. They lose a friend or a family member, or somebody kills themselves or something like that. Something just horrible happens to somebody they love. And like, man, I just wish I had more time with them. And it's like, well, that feeling that Floof has of knowing that he won't be in my bed one day, I could have the same perspective on every person I meet, even if it's a small relationship or a major relationship. So therefore, why wouldn't I want to love and care about each one of those people the same way I feel about my animals? And the cynical answer could be because animals don't fucking hurt you. That could be the cynical answer. I prefer to go with the answer in the perspective of why don't I show people that I love and care more? Like, why don't I show people how special they are and how amazing they are? And I've got a lot of work to do. Don't get me wrong. Like, I've got a lot of work to do when it comes to loving everybody. Sometimes people are just fucking assholes. You're just like, fuck you. I don't want to be around you. I don't want to be around that. But yeah, just like what our pets can teach us about ourselves. Another thing that I heard on a podcast the other day is that the way that we talk to our animals is we don't talk to any people like that. And even the people who are the most bitter, angry, traumatized, been through the most horrible shit in the world, their hearts will soften and melt when it's a puppy or even a baby or even a kitten, which just goes to show that no matter how much shit people have gone through, there's still love in them. That's what makes me think that I don't think there's any bad people in this world naturally. I think there's circumstances and events that traumatize people so bad that they numb out certain emotions where people can almost turn into a shell of a human being. Like people that go around doing school shootings or raping people or killing kids, things like that. There's some of those people could probably see a puppy or a kitten and you'd see a very different side of them, which goes to show that maybe some of those people, they're not monsters completely. They've just lost a lot of their humanity because of circumstances, things that happen in their life. You never know. Don't get me wrong, there's exceptions to these things. But it just goes to show, like, what can our pets teach us about ourselves? What can they teach us about how we care about an animal? Or what can they teach us about the way that we care about ourselves? Most people treat their pets better than they treat themselves. Most people treat their pets better than they treat their spouse. Most people talk to their pets nicer than the way they might speak to their family, their spouse, their kids, their co-workers. That's a little zinger for you. Think about that for a second. Most people treat their animals sometimes better than what they treat people around them. And what can that teach us about ourselves? It's like, well, maybe if you started treating people around you the same way you treated your pets, you would have a different outcome in life. You'd have stronger, more beautiful relationships. You'd be able to get deeper and closer with people. But yeah, there's things that stop us sometimes. There's a lot to unpack. And I really invite you, if you're listening to this, if you've got pets, or if you've had pets in the past, or even if you don't have pets and you just come across a dog on the street and it just brings up a feeling in you, it's like, what can that feeling, that thing that is coming up in you, what can that teach you about yourself? And how can you cultivate more of that feeling in your life? It's like, well, what is this feeling? Well, it's kind of like unconditional love. That's what it feels like. It's like you see a dog and it's so happy to see you. And that's what they teach us. They teach us that, especially when you come across a dog in the street. Dogs are so funny. Even my cat Flynn is like this. He's kind of like a dog. It's crazy. People that don't like cats meet Flynn and they're converted. Flynn is like a golden retriever, but a cat. Like any living creature, he's just stoked to meet it. Loves them, rubs up against them. Person who's coming through the door to fix the plumbing or to fix the air conditioning, Flynn's up on the ladder with them, trying to be their best friend. It's so ridiculous. But think about it when you come across a dog on the street and the dog is literally like, where the fuck have you been? You are my best friend. You are the only thing I'm focusing on right now. I'm so ecstatic to see you. Oh my God, great to see you. And how does that make you feel? It makes you feel loved because it's showing that it unconditionally loves you. Or maybe that's just the story I'm projecting on it and it's just a dumb animal. But I don't think so. And I don't think that you think that either. So it's like, what can that show us about ourselves? It's like, well, that feeling, man, I tell you what, I feel this way. Every day that I come across a dog, which is pretty much every day, I live right near a park, I go to work and I come home from work for lunch and I'm more than likely going to come across a dog. Every day that I come across a dog is a good day because they're so stoked to see you. And I always leave with a smile on my face. It puts a big smile on my face. I'm like, man, that was great. So good to see that pup. I'll probably never see it again. It probably won't even remember me. But that made my day because it made me feel loved. So how can we take these feelings and take these thoughts and be like, well, why don't I feel that more in my life? What is stopping me from feeling that towards myself? And then you can get into all the other stuff I've spoken about. Kind of links into what I like talking about. Working on yourself, healing yourself, dealing with your bullshit, dealing with your trauma, dealing with all your fucking stuff that makes you anxious, make you sad, all the things that are stopping you live a more peaceful, happier life. One of the last men's retreats I went to, I had this blanket, right? When I first got there, and it's very soft, and it was on my bed, and I was like, oh, this kind of reminds me of Flynn. And Flynn has very soft fur. I don't know why. It's just ridiculous. It's so soft. And we took the medicine, and about half an hour in, they were like, okay, we're going to put a blindfold on. You're going to dive in. You're going to work on your shit now. And I had this sickening, fearful thing that I couldn't find this blanket. I was like, I need this blanket. Where's this blanket? And I was walking around this house that we were in and I couldn't find it anywhere. And these words came out of my mouth. I'm like, where's my boy? Where's my little boy? And the spirit, it was psilocybin that we were in interaction with that we took. The psilocybin was like, it's not about the blanket. It's not about Flynn. You see Flynn as your little boy. But what this is really about is you need to go work on and have a relationship with the little boy that's inside you. And it made me think, what can our pets teach us about ourselves? The way that I treat Ouija, I treat him like my little girl. She's my little girl. Flynn's my little man. Same with Floof. He's my little man. And I treat them the same way I would treat a young child, with love and care and nurturing. And I think that we need to treat ourselves that way too. We were all 5, 6, 10, 12 years old at one point. Some of us speak to ourselves very nastily. And the crazy thing, especially how trauma works, is say you have a traumatic event at 10 years old. There's a 10-year-old version of you that gets stuck there. And that's why we act like children sometimes, because when a certain event happens in our adult life, that 10-year-old version of self literally comes out. Are you acting like a child? Yes, you literally are acting like a child because the 10-year-old version of you is threatened right now. And it made me think when I was dealing with that, when I was looking around this house, manically looking for this blanket that reminded me of my cat, because my cat reminds me of the little boy, where's my little man? And I was like, holy fuck, that's what our pets can teach us about ourselves, is the way that I treat Flynn is the way that I need to show up for myself and treat myself sometimes, especially when I have these things that come up. And you all know what it is. You've had this before. You've been through things where you have these irrational, illogical trigger responses. You're like, why the fuck? You can even see yourself doing it. You're like, man, I'm acting like I'm angry right now. I'm acting kind of erratic. I'm saying childish things, and we judge ourselves. And then it's like an adult scorning a child. You're like, why the fuck did I do that? I'm fucked up. I'm all fucked up. It's like, no, you need to treat yourself sometimes and love yourself and nurture yourself the same way you would treat your pets. Especially if you love your little pets, and just like I love my little guys and my little girl, the way that I treat them is how I need to show up for myself. And if I show up for myself like that, then that traumatic response that happened to me when I was 10, I can work on healing that. And what does healing that mean? It's basically going back and being like, it's okay, to my 10-year-old version of myself. You guys have probably heard of inner child work. I'm telling you from my personal experience, how it showed up related to my pets and how that it shows up in your life, whether or not you're aware of it or not. Hopefully this can shed some light on the way that we see our pets, and everything is a projection onto the world of our internal landscape and our internal environment and the way that we see the world. If you feel strongly about your pets and you care about them and you love them, then maybe you should start learning and looking at ways that you can treat yourself like that. Because if your dog or your cat could talk to you, they'd be like, why are you so mean sometimes? Why are you nicer to me than you are to yourself? I love you. I care about you. I don't want you to do that to yourself. So it's just a beautiful lesson that I learned just by having pets, and the way I treat them and the way I love them and how much love I pour into them shows me how much love I have to give and how much love I should be giving to myself and how much love I can give to myself. So that's what, in a nutshell, obviously I could talk about this all day. That's what our pets can teach us about ourselves. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Hopefully you get something out of this. And the one thing that I hope you get out of it is that if your pet could talk to you, they would probably want you to treat yourself the same way that you treat them, with unconditional love and respect, and making sure that you show up the best you possibly can for yourself. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Mental Dietitian Podcast. If you found any value at all, please share this with a family member or a friend, or just a guy or a gal walking down the street, just anybody at all, if you feel like it could help them and benefit them from the conversations we're having. It would mean the world to me if you could also leave a review. It helps grow the show. It helps the algorithms. And I also do love connecting with my listeners. So please reach out to me on social media. The best way to get a hold of me is through Instagram. And my Instagram handle is Aaron Lynch Potter. And that's spelled A-H-R-E-N-L-Y-N-C-H-P-O-T-T-E-R. Thank you so much once again.